healer of my heart, lover of my soul. That is the Jesus that loves us. That is the Jesus that, for where we are in our series, is calling you to come unto Him. That is the Jesus that might be asking you to step out of the boat and walk on the water a little bit. He's the healer of our heart. He's the lover of our soul. He is the one that has given His life for us. He is the one that has cleansed us from our sin. He is the one that is drawing us to Him in a deep and wonderful way. He is the one that you can trust. Amazes me. We trust the Lord Jesus for our eternity, but we have a hard time trusting Him for the moments of our lives. It's funny how the human mind is capable of doing that. And so I knew the power of the song and what it would do to prepare our hearts. So having your heart prepared with the healer of it and the lover of your soul, would you make your way back to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 14 has been our text for a series that I have entitled, Let's Go for a Walk. Really and truthfully, at the heart of this series, it's a series on our faith. It's a series on trusting the Lord. It's a series on hearing the call of God in our lives and stepping out into what He would have for us to do. It's fitting that the Lord has this series for this time of the year. I preached a series during the summertime on Wednesday nights, and I didn't intend it to be a series, but the Lord just kind of lengthened it a little bit. And I tied it to that old song the guy wrote on the summertime blues. And in the midst on Wednesday night in our Bible study lesson time, I talked about how difficult the summertime can be on our spiritual lives. I don't know if it's because we get out of routine, if we get the kids are home and it's hot, and it just seems like a lot of times the summer and those 3 months of summer, people have a hard time spiritually. And if we're not careful, the summertime can be very dangerous to our spiritual life. We make decisions we shouldn't make. We risk things we shouldn't risk. We put ourselves in vulnerable positions that we should not be put in. I don't know if it's the absence of accountability. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like the summertime can be difficult. As difficult as the summertime can be, as challenging as the fall can be. And not challenging so much from on our end, but it seems like when you transition from summertime to fall, September, October, and November, these are the months of the year that God begins to call His people to get out of the boat. This seems like this is the time of year when God deepens us in our walk of faith. This is where He challenges us. For our church, September will be Missions Month. Of course, that has its own challenges. But just in pastoring people, I've noticed that the summertime can be kind of dangerous on our spiritual life. And yet the fall time can be kind of exciting and thrilling, as that's when it seems like God says, come out into the water, challenges us. For some, it's a full-time call of ministry upon your life. For others, it's trusting the Lord in a certain area. And I really do believe that God is preparing you and me for some kind of stretch, some kind of call. And so I was brought to the passage in Matthew chapter 14 where Peter did something that mere mortal man is not able to do. He walked on the water. And I've likened what he did physically to a spiritual realm in our lives. And if I was to be honest with you, as your pastor, I'm preaching this message to inspire you and to encourage you and to comfort you and to bring you to a place where trusting God is a normal part of your life. Where trusting God, even though it's scary and frightening, in your heart and in your mind, it's safe. getting you to the point in understanding where this is how God works. Never in the life of a believer will God leave you alone. You got to hear that. I praise you, God, for what you've done. You've given me a beautiful house. You've given me a great job. You've given me a beautiful family. I've got money in the bank. Man, Lord, you've just been so good in my life. I just can't stop praising you and thank you. I mean, good job, God. Now just leave me alone. No. Don't rock the boat, God. You've done a great job. I'm perfectly happy. Thank you. Glory to God. I'm going to tell everybody how good you are, God. Just leave me alone. I got news for you. God may have blessed you more than you can ever dream, but God does not leave his people alone. He don't work like that. It's safe to feel that way, and we try, what do you call that when you give somebody an opposite philosophy? What do you call that? What is it? Reverse psychology. You were right. We try reverse psychology with God, don't we? If I don't give him praise, he may hurt me. You're doing a good job, God. I'm really happy right now. I just want you to know, man, I worship. My hands are up. Just leave me alone, man. Just leave me alone. God doesn't leave his people alone. Pastor, why won't God just leave me alone? I'm happy. Because God is going to consistently and fervently try your faith so that he can deepen in your life your understanding of him, so that he can grow you and take you into depths about him that you do not know. And he's not doing this to destroy you. He's doing this to bless you. Now, I want to say something that may go against your theology, but I hope you understand what I mean by this. You don't know everything about God the way you think you do. No, I got God figured out. He's good. He's kind. He's gracious. He's merciful. He saved my wretched soul. He spared my life. He's done some great things for me. I'm happy. I'm telling you, I know about God. Fine, but you don't know the height nor the depth. He's inexhaustible. And so what God will do in the life of his child is he will call us to things so that he can deepen in our mind and our understanding his capability. It doesn't mean that you get more of God. When you got saved, you got all that of God that he had to offer as he moved inside of you. But you don't know all that he is until you walk through some things. And here's the problem. God's people don't understand that this is what God will do. So we kind of get in this little boat of safety and security. And it's not that we're sinful. It's not that we're mad. It's not that we're bitter. It's not that we're these things. Matter of fact, Pastor, I'm very comfortable. Listen, if you're in a place in your life where you're very comfortable, get ready because God's coming. And so what God does is he shows up in our lives. And he calls us unto him for our good and for his glory. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure that I want that, or why would I even want that? Because as much as you think you know who God is, there's more of him for you to understand. And there's more blessing for God to prepare, and there's more for God to use you. But Pastor, I'm comfortable right here. I understand that you're comfortable right here, but God's got something greater for you to do. Then there's the other philosophy that says, hey man, I don't I'm here, but I wish I was doing more. So interesting that people have a desire to do more and they're frustrated with their life because they think there's got to be more to the Christian life. There's got to be more to what we're doing here. And somehow they're just bored with mediocrity and sameness and they're frustrated with themselves. I just want to say something so we're on the same page here. Your spiritual boredom is not God's fault. My spiritual boredom is not because Jesus has fulfilled everything in me or somehow I've reached a level of max capacity when it comes to the Lord. Probably my level of spiritual boredom is because I'm not hearing the voice of God calling me unto something. By the way, if you had to describe the voice of God biblically, there's two words that do it. Both of them start with S. Don't be afraid. You know it. Let's get it right. It is the blank, blank voice. It is the still, small voice. We live such loud lives right now that we don't necessarily hear what God is saying. And so one of the problems is we've got Christian people that are just kind of in their boat of routine and sameness. It's not that they're sinful. It's just that they're happy to be there. Or you're in that boat and you are a little bit frustrated because you want more. And the reality is that God is calling us to trust Him and deepening us in that. But we've got to be willing to step out of the boat. And you're never going to get out of the boat until you're dissatisfied with the boat. It's amazing. I'm never going to step out over that boat and trust the Lord until I get dissatisfied where I am. And so that's one of the reasons why we would step out onto the water. And this is why I'm preaching this message. I'm preaching this message because God has an individual plan for all of our lives. I'm preaching this message so that you are at least thinking, is God calling me to something? Where am I? If I had to judge my spiritual life right now, am I sitting in the boat of sameness and mediocrity? And am I frustrated with myself? Am I mad at myself because I don't have enough faith to step out? Am I not even hearing the voice of God? Or do I just not want God to rock my boat anywhere, and I'm kind of satisfied where I am? One of those positions as a believer, we find ourselves there. I said from the beginning that there are some things you need to know when you're walking on the water. And walking on the water is a walk of faith. It's a walk on the Word of God. And you better make sure that if you're going to step out and put yourself in a vulnerable position and walking by faith, that it is Jesus that is calling you to this. You've identified Him and you've heard Him speak His Word, and I have His Word, and now I'm going to go forward and walk on the Word of God. Many folks hurt themselves because they have their own whims or their own ideas. And even if they're good, spiritual, Christian, full-time ministry, whatever they are, if it's not God calling you to that, you don't have permission to get out of the boat until you have the Word of God. If you get out without that, then you're going down. Well, Pastor, I volunteer. Wonderful. So did Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Anybody know what God said after that? Go. It's interesting. Jesus said, come. God in the Old Testament to Isaiah said, go. Isaiah volunteered. Then God gave him permission and a promise with His Word. Just because you have a spiritual whim doesn't mean that that's God's will for your life. And as the pastor, I watch people hurt themselves this way. I'm trying to tell you how to identify with that. Yes, you begin to think, God, is this you moving in my life? If this is you moving in my life and in my heart and in my mind, and I see doors opening and opportunities opening, then God, if it be you, bid me come on the waters. What Peter said, then give me the Word of God. And he begins to walk on the Word of God. And we said that there are some resolves. If I'm ever going to walk by faith, I'm going to need some resolves if I'm ever going to get out of the boat. And the first thing is that my desire to get to Jesus has to be greater than my fear of the unknown. You'd be amazed at how the unknown paralyzes people. I've even had it go this far. I had a family, they were married and they didn't want to have a child because they did not know how they would raise a child in a corrupt world like we live in today. Well, I got news for you. The world's always been corrupt. By the way, because he lives, if you read that song or sing that song, verse number 2, that hymn was written from somebody that was delivered from that mentality. So you have the fear of the unknown. And as a believer, I don't always know how I'm going to get from A to B, other than God's going to get me from A to B. If Jesus gave Peter the word come, which was permission and it was a promise, then it was safe for Peter to make the way. Peter didn't have to figure out what all the unknown was. Peter just had to walk on the word of God. If you're waiting for God to straighten out the unknown, you're going to stay in the boat. You're going to stay in the boat. Because that's not how God works. Without faith, it is impossible to. If God gave you all the known, where's the faith? That's not God. Matter of fact, if you see a complete plan, step by step, organized and prioritized according to you, the way you think it should be, you better be afraid of that direction. Because that's not how God works. And so as I have some resolve here, my desire to get to Jesus has got to be greater than my fear of the unknown. Number 2, the resolve on that was, there's got to be a willingness to be a laughing stock sometimes. Sometimes I'm going to look foolish in what I'm doing, but if I'm doing what God's called me to do, then so be it. And then we talked about last week too, the third resolve was my commitment. And this is important, and I need this for foundation. I'm never going to know victory walking on the water. And really and truthfully, I'm not even sure that I'm going to always hear or reckon the word of God to come if my commitment to the Lord is not real. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Basically what he was saying to Jesus is, if that's you, I'm coming out there. And Jesus was able to see in Peter's commitment, honesty, and truthfulness, and the Lord Jesus makes a commitment to Peter's commitment. And so many times, a person can get their spouse to believe that their commitment is spiritual. They can get the pastor to believe that their commitment is true. They can get the church to believe that their commitment is true. But there's one person that knows the truth, and his name is God. And I'm not sure that we understand what all in means. And I gave you the example last week about bringing a boat to a dock and there's being a current. And if you've ever tried to straddle the dock and hold the boat with one leg, you realize there's a breaking point there. And so many times, my commitment to the Lord is not honest. Okay, Lord, I see you, I hear you, I have identified you, but I'm not sure that it's safe. I sure don't understand the unknown about this. And so I'm kind of half-hearted in my commitment. And the evidence of a half-hearted commitment is Plan B. See, God will make sure that he exposes in your life your ultimate trust. And there will be no God exalted above Jesus Christ. So here's what that looks like. All right, I'm going into full-time ministry. Or I'm going to take this job. Or I'm going to get this right. Or I'm going to position myself. I believe this is what God wants. But if this goes bad, I have this to fall back on. You're going down. Buy you a scuba diving thing. You need it. Well, if financially this doesn't, I have this. If in my ego, then I have this. If this structure doesn't work, then I have something to fall back on. The evidence that Peter's commitment was legit was that when he was going down, who did he turn to? He didn't say, fellas, throw me a life raft. Lord Jesus, save me. By the way, I'm so glad that when the cry of salvation comes, Jesus immediately responds. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say here? I'm trying to say this. Jesus knows if you trust him or not. We're the ones that don't know. And then here's what I promise you. If you have a plan B when it comes to walking on the water to what God has, he's going to destroy your plan B. He will crush it. He will make sure that you have no one or no thing to trust other than him. Pastor, that scares me. Boy, I love that old passage when the disciples are in the boat on the storm at another time and they're afraid they're going to die because the waves are so high. And they see the Lord Jesus walking unto them. And the old preacher used to say, what was about to go over their head was under his feet. Right. And really that's what it boils down to is who do I trust? And so if I have identified the Lord and I have his word, then the walk on his word is a safe walk. You have to believe that the walk on the word of God is safe. Because the word of God is forever settled. We believe that. Amen? So that walk is there. But if my commitment is such that I'm not all in, it's going to get exposed in that walk. Because what it seems like is that the walk is always a little further than what we expect. And the Lord makes it that way. His plan and his will and his calling for us is never something that we can just attain ourselves. Sometimes people want to join a church or they want to be baptized. And so I tell them, if you're going to join a church or be baptized, you got to come forward and present yourself publicly. Pastor, I don't want to walk down in front of people. They think you're scary. I tell them, you should look at them from my point of view. And so what I tell them is, sit close to the front. And when the invitation has come, just take a step or two and you're right there, right? So it seems like when God calls me to do something, it's always farther away than my comfort zone exists. And it's a little bit outside of my ability. So now here comes the unknown. Now here comes the gut check on my commitment. Now here comes on what am I trusting and what am I walking on. And so what I need you to understand is this, that when the Lord Jesus calls you to step out by faith on his word, you can trust that word as much as you can trust any solid ground to walk on. Got to hear that. You have to apply that. You have to practice that. There are some rules, and this is our message this morning. There are some rules that you should understand when you walk on the water. Write them down. Number one. We find in verse number 30. Look at it if you would, please. But when he, what class? Saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to say, rule number one. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Pastor, that makes me mad. That's just like you preachers. You always present spirituality up here, and you never bring it down here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, of course. But what is, I can't even see him. What do you mean when you say, keep your eyes on Jesus? I was thinking about that in my office. I was thinking about this conversation you and I would have. Pastor, you have a lot of weird things going in your head. I understand that. And when you travel back on a long trip, this is what it is. Here's my answer to that. You have a valid point. So I feel like it's my responsibility to break down what does it mean to keep your eyes on Jesus? Because that sounds good here, But in the middle of the storm, I need to know how to process that. Fair point. So I would like to say it this way. Keep your ears on Jesus. Does that help? That made it worse, Pastor. Okay. So when the preacher says, keep your eyes on Jesus, what is he talking about? All right. When Peter got out of that boat, he got out of that boat with permission. And he got out of that boat with promise. And the permission and the promise was given by one word that Jesus gave, and that word was come. When a pastor talks to you about keeping your eyes on Jesus, he's talking to you about keeping that word of God in the forefront of your mind, keeping that word of God in your heart. Understanding that Peter did not walk on his whim. Peter did not walk on the water per se. Peter walked on the word of God. And the word of God will not fail. Right? So when I say keep your eyes on Jesus, I mean that if God has given you a word, that when the storm comes or the hard times come and things get difficult or bad, which they will, that you keep that promise in your heart. You keep that permission in your mind. You're constantly bringing that word of God up. Lord, I don't know how we're going to get from here to there, but this is what you said. Lord, I don't have a dime in my pocket. I don't know which way I'm going, but this is what you said. Lord, I don't know what to do, but this is what you said. When you let go of this is what you said, you're sinking. So when I say keep your eyes on Jesus, I'm not being over spiritual. Pastor, do you ever get afraid? Absolutely. Pastor, do you ever get nervous? Absolutely. Pastor, do you succeed at everything you do? You're out of your mind. My name is Tom. What does that mean? That means I'm a sinner that needed to be saved by grace just like you. That means I don't walk on water as far as some mystical thing. I come to the point in time in my life when I've identified the Lord and he's given me a word and I step out. Man, I'm scared. Man, I'm nervous. I don't have answers for questions. My wife asks me things. My kids ask me things. I just have the word of God. And I have found, man, when I walk on that word, it's more solid than walking on concrete. That's how you keep your eye on Jesus. Rule number two. Don't listen to the people in the boat. We call them Monday morning quarterbacks. Don't listen to those that aren't walking. When you search the scripture, we're not told what they did or did not do, but we're told that they didn't get out of the water. We're told they didn't say, yeah, Lord, and me too, let me walk. I believe that anybody in the boat that wanted to walk on that water could have walked on that water if they had trusted the Lord. And always, you're going to have people in the boat who do not have the courage to step out or do not have the desire to step out. And they're always going to give their opinion. And never is that opinion going to be, usually, is it going to be positive or encouraging? And so this is why you need to surround yourself with people who walk by faith. This is why you need to surround yourself with people who believe the word of God. This is why you need to encourage yourself with other believers. But don't listen to the people in the boat who aren't doing anything. Do you know what the people in the boat do is they tell you how big the waves are. So we go fishing on the ocean all the time, and I go out there at night. Normally when I fish on the ocean, I fish from around 10 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you do that? I don't know. It's just when I get invited. And so we fish. We anchor fish. So we go out to Fort Lauderdale Inlet. We go through the inlet. You get in that thing, and man, that old boat's a boom, boom, and boom. beat me until I'm senseless. We get out to a spot called 19. Why do you call it 19? I have no idea. It's in the GPS, 19. 55 to 70 foot of water. Throw out the anchor, pastor. Why do I got to throw out the anchor? I'm the pastor. Let somebody else throw out the anchor. Throw out the anchor. So I let the anchor out. Anchor hits, catches, current turns the boat, right? Whichever way the current's going. Now we're anchored strong. Well, when you're anchored, here come the waves. Also going out that inlet are those big barges, man. Those things are awesome. But they throw a big wake. Sometimes you have rogue waves coming. And so sometimes you're in the boat and you're looking out in the ocean and I can see that big wave coming. I'm like, fellas, there's a big one coming. Hold on. Here we go. You know, something like that. People in the boat always see the waves. Rule number three, don't look at the waves. Don't look at the waves. Pastor, see, there you go again. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't listen to the people in the boat. Don't look at the waves. So what am I supposed to do, Pastor? Am I supposed to just go through life like a robot and not and pretend like nothing bothers me and just keep my eyes and just keep walking and just never any negative pressure at all? No. The waves represent difficulty and distraction. The waves represent circumstances. It's not where Peter didn't understand where the waves were. It's not that he couldn't see them. They're going to come. But it's how you process that as a believer. And so I'm processing the circumstances, and I'm always processing these circumstances, if I'm doing it right, based on the presence of Jesus and based on the Word of God. So as the circumstances roll into my life as I'm following the Lord, the way that my perspective on them is how I see them. Either I see them as under the feet of Jesus, and there's not a circumstance that he can't help me through or meet me, or I see them as being greater than Jesus, and I'm in trouble. But I got news for you. There's not anything on the earth that's greater than Jesus. So I've got to process that in my mind. Well, now I'm processing the waves, and I'm keeping my eye on Jesus. So what am I doing? I'm working on that word that God gave me. That word, you would never leave me nor forsake me. You would provide for me. And so as the circumstances are rolling in, and yes, I'm regardful and respectful of them, but I'm not going to let them overtake in my mind the security of the Word of God. Yeah, but Pastor, those waves are big and you can go down. Fine. And I tell God this sometimes. Lord, this is a big one. And I may go down. But if I'm going down coming to you. I'm not going down drowning in a boat. And I have found that when I'm with the Lord and walking on his word, neither one of us go down. So I've got to process that. As I step out of the boat, I got to keep my eyes on the Lord. On his word. I cannot let what people that are doing nothing point out the danger of what I am doing. And then as the waves come, I got to process that with the word. Now, here's where you usually mess up. We process circumstances with the original call. Oh, this is great, 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 God, great. So let me ask you a question. Those waves that were coming, did they subvert the word of God in God's mind? No, Pastor, help me. That went over my head like this. I can tell because your head went like this. What am I trying to say? Just because you have problems and difficulties doesn't mean that God didn't call you to get out of the boat. So when we have a problem, we're like, oh, I made a mistake. This wasn't God. No. His word will not return void. His word is forever settled. If you have the word of God, I don't care if a typhoon comes in, God still told you to go and come. But we process it differently. And this is where we begin to sink. We process it as like, that was a weak moment. I shouldn't have went forward and surrendered to that. This ain't God. It can't be God. It wouldn't be this hard if it was God. That's usually evidence it is God. So let me get back in the boat. That's how we process that. Just because the waves come doesn't mean it wasn't God's will for you to walk. Tell me you understand that by saying amen. Amen. Lastly, don't look down. Don't look down. What do you mean, don't look down? He was afraid and beginning to sink. How did he know he was sinking? He looked down. Help me, Lord. I think there will be two things that will cause you to sink when you're walking on the water. Stay with me. Number one is fear. And number two is pride. Number one is fear. And number two is pride. Many of you are walking on the water. I know you are. I know your stories. But never get out on that water and think you're doing it by yourself. And never let spiritual pride develop. Hear what Pastor Hunter is getting ready to say. You will sink faster with pride than you will with fear. You will sink faster with pride than you will with fear. Peter took his eyes off the Lord, off the word. He looked at his circumstances. And the Bible says he began to sink. Right? Peter would later write, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. You're going to sink faster in pride than you will with fear. Many people who sunk out of pride in the midst of one of the most wonderful times of their life as they were following the Lord, they did something they never dreamed they would do. They committed some sin they never dreamed they would commit. And pride developed in there, and they began to sink. Now, praise God, no matter where you are in the journey, whenever you start to sink, the cry of salvation will always be immediately answered. But those of you that are walking on the water, you can't look down in pride. This is pretty cool. It is cool, but you give glory to God. Look how far I've come. You couldn't even do anything if God didn't help you. Wow, I must be a great Christian. I could be a pastor. No. No. It ain't about you. It's about our God. Keep my eye on Jesus means keep that word in my mind and my heart. Keep trusting it. Stop listening to the people in the boat telling you what God cannot do. That's good too. You're getting two for one. Stop listening to the people in the boat telling you what God cannot do. And then, as we make our way, don't look at the waves. Yeah, you're going to see the problems coming in. But navigate your way through that. Don't let that trump the word of God. Don't let that make you jump back in the boat. And then don't look down with pride. Pastor, why? Why so feverishly preach this? Because I want you to get to a point in your life where you hear the call of God, you trust the word of God, and you step out as to what God's plan is for your life, because he's got a rich and wonderful plan for all of us. Amen? Okay. So there's four types of people in the room. Please give me your attention. I'm done. There are those of you that are walking on the water, and you're doing great. Everything you heard me preach, you're practicing. My admonition to you is, don't look down. Don't get filled with pride. There are some of you, you're sitting in the boat, and you're either frustrated with yourself or you're mad at God. You're frustrated with yourself because you don't have enough courage to get out, or you're mad at God because he's calling you out of the boat. But you know that God has presented something to you, and he wants you to take a step of faith. What are you doing in the boat? Well, it's just not the right time. That's asinine. How can you tell the maker of time and the one that lives outside of time that it's not the right time? I think God knows perfectly what time it is. Why aren't you out of the boat? Then there's the people that are in the boat, and you're thinking, I don't even hear God calling me. When's the last time I even heard God call me? I've been in this boat a long time. Pastor, I'm looking at my life right now, and I don't see anywhere where God is challenging me. He must have just left me alone. He doesn't leave you alone. You're too loud. You're too loud. You need to get quiet and hear the still small voice of God. God, what do you want me to do? Are you happy with me? Where am I, God? What's your plan for me? God, I'm in this dumb boat. I've been in this dumb boat a long time. What do you want? And then there's the fourth person. And you're in the boat, but you're in the boat of lostness, and you're not a Christian. You need to get out of that boat and come find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere in that four scenarios, every one of us are. Find yourself. Shall we pray?